Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
President Obama is visiting Intel. A chemical spill closes OHSU, and a Los Angeles hospital puts a new kidney into the wrong patient.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed. For this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Friday, February 18th, 2011. President Barack Obama is in Hillsborough today for his second visit to Oregon as president. Obama will make a three-hour stop in the Portland suburb today. He's touring Intel's campus in Hillsborough and checking out the company's initiatives to encourage young people to become high-tech scientists and engineers.
I'm sorry, was that President Gordon Shumway?
No, it was President—wait, let me find it. It's in here somewhere. Barack Obama.
Here's a little secret. I actually knew that because he flew over our building about an hour and a half ago, and I'm not making that up.
Oh, did you go up on the roof and wave at him?
Yes, that's exactly what I did. Then I waved something shiny, and I shouted a lot of anti-government slurs. No.
And then the men in the black suits and the earpieces showed up. I was wondering why they were here.
No, you don't even see that. You just see a moment. You just see a small red dot appear on your head, and then you don't see anything ever again. So Greg and Tara were actually here this morning. They were taping Fun Employment Radio a little bit earlier because they've got their Trailblazers show, which is coming up this afternoon. Anyway, so I was in, and there was this boop, 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 boop. And I guess I didn't know what it was. I guess I thought it was a train because we've got this train track that's not too far outside our window. And I just thought it was sort of a muffly train going by. I don't really know what a muffly train is. But apparently it was. And I just caught the tail end of it as it vanished. But it was Air Force 2, I guess. Or is Air Force 2, that's the vice president. I guess it was Marine 1, which is that helicopter thing that he flies in. It's that thing that Nixon got into, the sort of U-shaped helicopter.
Except it's probably a new one, isn't
probably.
It? It's probably not the same one.
Well, you got to cut corners now, Don. It's a recession and all. But there's two of them that goes over, and I guess one of them is sort of a decoy. So in a best-case scenario, one would have only a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. It was directly over the building.
Well, it's like when Bush was here to speak at the University of Portland a few years ago, and I was living in North Portland, and they took the route, like, right past my house. And it was really weird because it was literally 50 identical black SUVs.
Yeah.
And it just kept going and going and driving and driving. And I guess the idea is, like, you don't know which one is him.
Yeah.
But, you know, wow, it just took forever for it to go by.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, what's the point of having power if it can't really be gaudy and showy, you know?
Yeah. I especially remember that day, too, because we were all told, given notice, that we could not park on the street. Because, you know, I could put some kind of, I guess, explosive device in the trunk of my car.
Not that you would do that.
No, not that I would do that. But, of course, I was allowed to park in my driveway, which is, of course, just like
3 feet away from the street.
3 feet away from the street.
I guess, but they can't really just. I think parking on the street and parking in your driveway are two different things, just perceptually speaking. Because I think if they just, I think if they towed your car away because you were parked in the street and they told you not to, I think that's a thing they could get away with and nobody would bitch about it, or the media wouldn't make a fuss about it. But I think if they were towing cars out of your driveway, that's where then reverses on them, and it becomes a whole thing in and of itself.
And I guess if you have like a panel van full of, you know, fertilizer.
Not that you would.
You could just park it on the street.
Right.
Whereas you would have to, you know, find someone to allow you to put the panel van in the driveway.
Apparently, if you have a van full of fertilizer or other explosive, at this point, the Portland police tell you where to park, and they actually save a space for you downtown.
That's right.
It's the way that proceeds. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Friday, February 18th. 2011, if you want to get this program later on today, so you can listen to it over and over and over again, perhaps while sponging yourself. You can do that at iTunes. You can also get it as a direct MP3 download here, or legionofnews.com. It's also available on your mobile device that is mobile.cascadia.fm, mobile.cascadia.fm. Also, this hour, entertainment news and the science on the march. Here is Don Taylor.
And I would like to welcome Rick Emerson back today after our show was away yesterday because he was training with the CIA.
I don't like to talk about it, Don.
Right. Facebook has wisely rushed in where the feds fear to tread. The social networking site announced yesterday it will add in a civil union and in a domestic partnership to its list of relationship status options. The social media site is making the change in the U.S., Canada, U.K., France, and Australia. Previously, users only had the options single, in a relationship, engaged, married, separated, in an open relationship, it's complicated, widowed, and divorced. Human rights organizations praised the move. A spokeswoman for the advocacy group Marriage Equality said, "I think it's important to be able to recognize and describe the legal status of same-sex couples. It's good visibility and good to show everyone on Facebook that same-sex couples exist and are denied the status of marriage."
It seems like if they were really going to be forward-thinking, they would just not put civil union, they just put married. You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems like this is...
Yeah, but just, the whole point is, though, that you're not allowed to have, you know, a legally recognized marriage.
I see. So it's illustrating that you have something that is similar to but less than.
Right.
Ah, okay.
I think you ought to be able to have more than one. You should be able to... Because I would like to be able to... Married and it's complicated.
Well, that's true. What is the it's complicated thing? What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. I think it just means that you're all a flutter. I don't know.
My whole thing, because that's the it's complicated is the that is the more elastic or the most elastic of all of them, right? Because there's the sort of open relationship, which is, you know, people have a general idea of what that is. Mm-hmm. But the it's complicated is, that's like the and the rest.
It just always sounds to me like you're seeing someone, but you fight all the time.
Or that
that's what I always think it means.
That seems like one of you is in a serious relationship and one of you ain't. That's what it's complicated is. It's where you're in a relationship with him, but he's humping an entire cheerleading team somewhere.
I always just hear the theme to Itchy and Scratchy in my head whenever I see that. Just fight, 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 fight. Yeah.
We should try to make it our mission. Maybe not on this program, but on the next Emerson show. We should try to find some people who actually use "it's complicated" as their relationship status, and just ask them like, what are you talking about
that?
There? Like, what is it in your specific scenario? What is it that's describing?
All right, here's
make a note of that.
Don Taylor.
Well, if only we had a guy
I'm
to make
really
a note of that.
Making a note of it.
I notice you're not. Four people are in the hospital after a chemical spill at Oregon Health and Science University. It happened at 5:30 p.m. yesterday when officials say a small amount of a chemical spilled in a research lab on the OHSU Markham Hill campus. Crews were forced to evacuate the building after the chemical spilled. The chemical is known as acrolein, and it's a gas that can cause irritation to the eyes, nose, mouth, and lungs. The two public safety officers were helping to evacuate the building, and two lab employees were taken to an area hospital for evaluations. The building's been closed until further notice. OHSU public safety officers, Portland Fire, Portland Hazmat, and Gresham Hazmat responded to the spill. Researchers in the lab study brain regulation of metabolism and body heat.
Don't you always assume that it's something much more sinister, though? When they tell you that it's just a small amount, you assume it's a huge amount. When they say that it's something that they use for research, you assume it's something they use to get spiders from another dimension.
Yeah.
And when they call out the hazmat team, they're really calling out like some guys who lurk at Groom Lake, who come out and immediately just cordon off the entire area and burn it to the ground.
And when they say that they study the brain regulation of metabolism and body heat, what they really mean by that is ways to kill people with just a couple of drops of some kind of gas.
I just figure, see, you and I go two different ways. You just figure that it's that it's sinister in the realistic sense. And I always figured that they've got Charlie McGee's mom somewhere on a table, and they're just trying to figure out how she can have another fire breathing toad baby.
See, it's much more entertaining in your mind.
It is.
Yeah. Until now, the state's boom in farmers markets has happened with the state's tacit approval and somewhat under the radar of regulations. Small farmers who sold their edibles at market have been worried about how the state may intervene. This is all likely to change with a new bill coming out of Salem. Specifically, small-scale farmers have been concerned about having to meet potentially onerous licensing requirements similar to those that help the state regulate large-scale farmers. This week, most small farmers breathed a sigh of relief after the Oregon House passed HB 2336, including new rules that would essentially allow those farmers to maintain business as usual.
Does it really say sell their edibles?
Yes, it did. Sell their edibles.
It's like showing your undies.
The bill would let small-scale farmers bring their products to market without fear of one day having to meet the requirements. There are a few exceptions in the bill. Meat, poultry, sprouts, low-acid products where botulism could grow. None of that is covered in the bill. This is things like walnuts, roasted peppers, and other low-risk products. The goods would have to have a new sticker under the rules saying that they're processed at a non-licensed facility, but farmers will be able to sell directly to customers without...
I'm unclear about this. What is it? So I must have missed like the second sentence where they describe what the regulations were that they no longer have to follow.
Well, right now there really aren't any. There are a lot of health regulations for large-scale food processors and what they have to do. Farmers markets, they tend to...
it's just some guy who shows up with his rhubarb.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes it's also people making jams and canned goods.
I see.
And people selling candies.
This is like an adult version of the girl who sells lemonade without a license.
Right.
Okay.
And people... And the state has pretty much said, well, we like farmers and we like people who make stuff and we're just going to... But there has been some talk about, you know, there being some kind of regulation. And so in this case, they're basically essentially saying flat out, if you're not selling a high-risk edible product, as long as you put a little sticker on it saying it was manufactured at a non-licensed facility,
so people know what
right
they're
ahead.
Getting. So as long as so people are, that is a thing where people can be fully informed in their choice.
Right.
They can say it was a dude grown in some guy's basement.
Yes.
And then you go, well, either yes or no.
Yeah, okay, I'll take a risk.
Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. As long as you're not dealing in, like, you know, not selling big plates of fugu or something.
No. Well, yeah, that's probably not.
Probably a thing you don't want to buy there.
No. Or anywhere, really.
No, not at all. Am I pronouncing that right?
Fugu?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Isn't that the Javits, the blowfish thing that, like, it kills you instantly or whatever?
Well, only if it's prepared incorrectly.
But it's that thing that's like there's no one on earth who can prepare it. There's, like, one guy who trains another guy as he gets to the end of his years on earth, and it's like they hand it down from father to son.
Yeah, you have to be some crazy masterful sushi chef to be able to, like, cut it in just the right place so you don't pierce the poison sack or something.
Hey, has there ever been a restaurant called Sushi Sue?
I don't think so.
There really ought to be.
There ought to be. Yeah, there's a store, by the way, in Tigard. I drive by all the time. That's called Bead Bullies.
Yeah, no, I've talked about that place.
Have you?
Yeah.
It bothers me every time I drive. Are they? Do you go in and you're like some lady and you want to make jewelry and they're just really mean to
buy
you?
Buy some alabaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They give you a wedgie.
Well, I swear to God that it was on this show that we talked about Bead Bully because my wife and I saw that because we were using. This is a whole thing inside a thing, but we had this gift certificate that we got from CBS to do something, go to some damn restaurant that we went to that ended up just being ass, by the way. It was just terrible. It was just one of the worst. Let me just tell you this. There's a lot of ways you can make bad food, and there's a lot of different foods that can be made poorly. There is nothing more disappointing to me than when you go there. To me, there is no bad food like bad Italian. Bad Italian is just, you know what it's again like, and the guy said, would you like some antipasti? And you say, yes, I would. And then he brings it, it's just like a bunch of carrot sticks, like laid on a piece of iceberg lettuce.
And three black olives.
Exactly.
Straight out of the can.
It's like he got a big boy smoke stick or something across the street and chopped it up on the plate. So we went to some damn Italian place that was right down the street from Bead Bully. And we did the same. We actually stopped the car from it. We slowed in traffic and just stared at that place for a while. And we're trying to figure out why they came up with the name Bead Bully. Like if they were trying to be sort of an edgy kind of a beading store. You know, like if they were trying to sort of be like play fast and loose and be on the, you know, get the sort of like your more roguish beading customers. Or if it was just that like every single goddamn domain name that had beads or beading in it was somehow taken. And that was like the only thing they could find.
I don't know. I've many times wanted to just go there and walk in and say, explain your name. Just and then that just seemed sort of And then if they really are bullies, they might, you know, hit me.
As somebody once said, I think we can all agree, though, that beating is for a-holes. So,
I don't know if we can agree on that.
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe. I agree on that. And that's inside my own head, there is complete unanimity on that. And that's what matters.
As debate rages over budget cutts, House Speaker John Boehner says he's unwilling to pass temporary funding measures, making it likelier than ever the government could simply shut down.
Woo!
I'm not going to move any kind of short-term resolution at current levels, Boehner said yesterday as the House inched towards passing a federal spending bill. While Democrats have been willing to accommodate some cuts, they haven't been amenable to the draconian slashing, they called it draconian, that Republicans have proposed.
Draconian slashing is that's the name of my grindcore band.
After debating the government funding bill until 1 a.m. this morning, their third consecutive session to go past midnight, lawmakers will reconvene today to vote a proposal that would cut $61 million from government agency budgets. Boehner says, when we say we're going to cut spending, read my lips. We're going to cut spending.
Republicans shouldn't say read my lips anymore.
No, no one should ever say that.
That's a thing people shouldn't say.
Included in these spending cuts the Republicans are trying to impose are several attempts to stop implementation of health care reform. Congressman Dennis Rayberg of Montana is part of that effort.
This is budget?
Health.
Oh, I'm sorry, health. Let's see.
It minimizes it to the level of going through a red light or a stop sign.
No, that's totally wrong.
No, that's not it at all.
That's completely not it. It's hard to explain exactly how not it that is.
Okay, well, elsewhere.
Is this from today?
Yeah, you handed it to me.
It's called health. You're saying.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't know where that went.
Well, let's,
wait. Wait.
Yeah.
No, it's just gone.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I have no idea where that went.
Well, Democrat Chris Holland says the GOP may have a majority, but they also have a mandate to negotiate. This is budget.
Okay, sorry.
The biggest challenge we've got with the new majority in the House is whether there's a willingness to reach sensible compromise.
Van Hollen says the GOP needs to work with their Democratic counterparts to forge a new fiscal plan.
What Speaker Boehner just said today is it's my way or the highway. In other words, before we even negotiate, I'm laying down conditions, and that's not compromise.
In addition to read my lips, they should never say my way or the highway.
I was just thinking, really, the last person who on earth who was able to say that was Lawrence Tierney, and that was only once, and that's it. No one else can say that ever again. Who was the guy that had the health cut?
That was some Republican fella.
Some guy named. Because now it's become a whole thing.
Well, now I've lost it. It just
there really was no cut. You were just screwing with
me. I put it in the well, that's not going to happen pile, and now it's just.
I believe
gone
it
forever.
Might have been Dennis Rathberg.
Rayberg.
Rayberg.
Yeah.
Was that?
Yeah, that's him.
Just become such idiots. Nyborg. I'm almost certain that I have that cut somewhere, and so now it's become a quest. It's like a thing that I have to find and play. All right, clearly that's not going to happen right now, though. I'm going to keep looking.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, there he is. He's Rayberg, R-E-H-B-E-R-G.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes your way next hour. It's going to be next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Today we've got your religious nutcase watch coming up. Also, Mr. Big Jim Willig will be in the studio with another installment of Humor Me, Comedy 101. Today he'll be talking about the life, legacy, and work of Ms. Gilda Radner. So that is coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Something you can enjoy for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. Yes, that's right. It doesn't seem possible, but I said it. It's just 32 cents a day. The mind is, the mind reels. I don't mind telling you this. It leaves me agog. I mean, really, it's, to a level that I can't even really begin to describe. It's something
literally agog?
Actually, I am agog. So that is coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Hey, by the way, I've got the cut from what's-his-name, Dennis Rathberg. Hold on.
This amendment denies any funding provided by this bill to support Obamacare.
There you go. Wasn't that worth it?
Okay there.
No. Nope.
Yeah, he's from Montana.
All right, there you go. Here's Don Taylor.
Multiple law enforcement agencies, including the U.S. Marshals and Interpol, are on the hunt for a former Beaverton school district teacher who faces 30 counts of child pornography charges. Interpol released a bulletin for 35-year-old Logan Storm on Wednesday. Detectives believe he could be overseas because his native country is Ireland. A warrant for his arrest was issued in August. Detectives said they found child pornography on his computer, and court documents show one of Storm's last known addresses was a home on Emerson Street in North Portland.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that. By the way, it's too bad that this guy's, what is it, did you say child pornographer, allegedly?
Yeah. Logan Storm.
I was going to say, because now we can never name a superhero after him, and he's got a badass superhero name.
And he's Irish, too, so it's like, can you imagine... You know, it's too bad he's a pornographer, because I imagine he would do very well with the ladies.
Too bad about the buggering.
Too bad about the rapiness and the buggering, because...
Also the fact that he probably doesn't care for grown ladies.
No.
Yeah. That's Logan
kind of
Storm.
A shame. Yeah. A former student of his, because, of course, he was a teacher at Stoller Middle School in Northwest Portland. A former student of him has said, I've never met anybody who hasn't said they love Mr. Storm because he's such a great guy, a great person. Everybody relates to him really easily.
Also because when you're asked that question, you probably have a knife directed at some part of your anatomy. Tell me you love me!
I love you.
Thank you.
A current student who also didn't want to be identified said rumors have been circulating about why Storm was absent from school this year. He said it makes you feel kind of nervous because you think that you know somebody and then they do something like that. It really shocks you.
Now tell me I'm pretty. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later on this hour, we have your entertainment news, also Science on the March. Don't forget, you can get this program later on today via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here. That is here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com.
General Motors is unveiling a new in-car infotainment package called Chevy MyLink. It'll first be introduced on the 2012 Chevy Volt due out this summer. Mickey Bly, head of GM's electrical engineering.
Are you sure you haven't switched these names somehow? Like Mickey Bly isn't the guy who's on his way back to Ireland that he's searching for? Because that sounds a lot like he ought to be Mickey Bly.
Yeah.
But this is not.
No.
Okay.
And Logan Storm should be the head of GM's electrical engineering.
He should be in a lab somewhere with like a swirling sort of, like a bunch of, just like a bunch of Tesla coils behind him going.
His hair is just standing straight out with,
And wearing like sort of, and wearing like steampunk goggles.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, Mickey Bly. Here he's going to explain the benefits of the Chevy MyLink.
When you get in the vehicle, you bring your smartphone in. It'll instantaneously connect with the vehicle. If you have some applications that are on your smartphone that you really like Pandora or Stitcher, you'll have that instant access with a very easy, simple-to-use touchscreen or voice commands.
I don't want to start a whole other thing about this, but...
Because
then it's going to be like that day that I was all bent on about the word signage. Mm. Why would you say instantaneously as opposed to instantly? Doesn't one of those sound like it's made up? Instantaneously, you know what it sounds like? That's how Don King would say instantly. You know, he was instantly knocked out. He was instantaneously brought to his knees by the fearsome pummelitude of, you know, it just sounds like you're just taking a word that you don't really know and you're elaborating it for the sake of presumed clarity.
Instantaneous sounds ever so much quicker, though, than instant, doesn't it? Even though they both mean the same thing.
That's the thing, because it's like you give it that dash of 50s sci-fi. It's like how if you were just to say, well, I'm applying a moistener, it sounds kind of icky and non-effective. But if you say it's a moisturizer, then suddenly it's somehow better.
Also, doesn't instantaneous mean, like, more than one thing working together, like, immediately? And
I don't
instant,
think so.
Instant just means immediately?
I mean, it may, but it doesn't. There's nothing in there to indicate that it's a measure of quantity.
I'm confused now.
Okay. Here's the thing. I think the problem with this is that they're using instantaneously because I think that they're trying to make it some sort of, an equivalent to momentarily. Instantaneously and momentarily, which seem like they're the same thing, except you could, there is... You know, you can't say momently, but you could just say instantly. Never mind.
Okay.
I'm going to stop caring now.
USC University Hospital made a mistake last month when it accidentally transplanted a kidney into the wrong patient.
Nope.
The hospital immediately halted all transplants upon discovering the mistake, which was revealed today by the Los Angeles Times, and described the mishap as a process error. According to the Times, two kidneys from different donors arrived at the hospital around the same time on January 29th and apparently got confused in the shuffle. No patients were harmed in the operation. Luckily, the donor had a universal blood type, and the kidney's intended recipient was given a different kidney several days later. The hospital plans to resume transplants today. It usually performs about two a week, and will submit corrective action plans to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Corrective action plans. That sounds like they're really going to tackle the problem.
Well, the safeguards are substantial, says Dr. Goran Klintmalm, a surgeon at Dallas's Baylor Regional Transplant Institute. He says, I can't even imagine how this mistake could have happened, said Dr. Goran Klintmalm.
Okay. Goran Klintmalm.
Lauren Clintmalm.
I don't even know what that sounds like. It doesn't sound like the whole Zinglebert Wangledank thing, but it sounds like something. It sounds like it's in the same family. Goran Clintmalm.
And here's the thing. On the page, it actually looks like it.
Is that his Wu-Tang name?
It looks like an anagram. Doesn't it? For something else?
I guess that's maybe. It really does. I guess maybe that's what I'm thinking of. It sounds like it.
Goran Clintmalm.
Okay.
It looks like if you just re-scrambled the letters, you'd come up with an actual name, you know, like Charlie Eastman or something. But
all right.
Yeah.
I think it's the Malm that really sells that. Goran is also funny.
Actually, they both sound like things that you could buy at IKEA.
Goran Clintmalm?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's sort of like he'd be a world-class designer of some kind that he made, like a bench.
No, just the Goran would be like a cheese grater. And then, like, Clintmalm would be one of the sofas you'd be purchase.
It's sort of it's the mortar and pestle of the Norwegian world.
Because I swear to God, they do have a furniture system there that is the Malm, M-A-L-M.
A Malm sounds like a thing into which you would put other objects that you need crushed. You know, like, well, he went through the Malm and he came out the other side and he was a lot thinner. Here's the thing about this is like, I'm not saying that they should make these sort of mistakes because clearly you don't want to, because if they make these mistakes, they could make other ones. But a kidney's a kidney, I would imagine.
Well, again, though, you have to have.
But they had the same type and everything.
But there are tissue and blood type matches that have to.
Well,
and,
then maybe that is a problem.
But this person was a universal blood donor, so it worked out anyway. Apparently.
It's like how my sister was telling me that it's like no joke. She's like, if you ever go to a hospital, that whole thing you hear the people goof about really like writing on your arms, like, do not amputate this.
Yeah. And not this one.
Yeah, and she said that, like, no fooling, like, that has nearly happened at her hospital, where it's like if the doctor hadn't gone, wait, hold on a second, left, right, left, oh, okay. And he does that thing where he makes an L with his hand. He goes, oh, the other one. So I guess they're just guys. It just, you like to think that they know what they're doing a little bit more than that, but maybe not.
When I had my hip replaced, they actually wrote on me. They came in and did it. The nurse came in with a Sharpie and said, we're just going to make a note over here on your leg that this is the one. I was like, okay, then.
That's really unnerving.
Yeah. Protests are growing in Madison, Wisconsin over the governor's budget proposal that calls for cutting collective bargaining rights for teachers and other public employees. Nancy Reich, a middle school band director, explains her frustration with the governor.
This is Wisconsin?
Yes.
We are not out here.
To brace ourselves for that. Hold on a second. Let me just.
Okay.
We are not out here about the pay and the benefits. We are out here for our voice. He is trying to bust our unions.
Reich, as mentioned before, is a middle school band director, and as you can tell from her voice, she's been out protesting for days.
She feels deeply about this. She's impassioned.
We have started collective bargaining in 1959. For 52 years, we've been out here. And
she's
now
tired.
All of a sudden, Governor Scott Walker wants...
For 52 years, we've been out here.
Wow.
First of all, she's suddenly become Jewish. Second of all, I don't think that's accurate. I think, technically speaking, they may not have actually been out there for 52 years.
No, probably not.
We have started collective bargaining in 1959. For 52 years, we've been out here. And now, all of a sudden, Governor Scott Walker... Walker wants to say, forget it, no voice.
Okay.
You
don't really think of Wisconsin as being an angry place. Really, when I was there, everybody just seemed drunk.
Yeah, or wearing those cheese hats at football games.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem with having somebody like that as your spokesperson is that...
It becomes impossible to listen to them.
And she's probably on the side of right, but like I immediately like don't like her.
It just sounds like we were just talking. Maybe it's because we were talking about Jim earlier, but it just sounds like Emily Letella has suddenly been put in charge of a union somewhere.
We are not out here about the pay and the benefits. We are out here for our voice. He is trying to bust our union.
I mean, doesn't it sound like she's going to start complaining about violins on TV or something?
Well, I love that whole Marge from Fargo kind of tone that the Wisconsonites get into their voices.
I will tell you this. The only time I was in Wisconsin, I stayed at a hotel that I swear to God was directly across the street from the factory where they shot the Laverne and Shirley exteriors.
Nice.
Because they showed like the Schatz Beer Company or whatever. And that was at a place in Wisconsin where all the beer apparently that's not made in Oregon is from. And so I was directly. And every now and again, I would just get off the bed and I would just walk over to the hotel room, to the window, and I would just look out at the factory. And then I would just giggle to myself.
And then say, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, and then laugh uproariously.
Hopscotch back to the bed and then just go back to sleep.
Let's do science.
Here's your science on the march for Friday.
Yes, it is. It is indeed Today is Friday.
February 18th, 2011, brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them by going to squireselectric.com or calling 503-252-1609. Here is Don Taylor.
Lonely astronauts on the International Space Station may soon be getting an android friend from Japan. Japan's space agency is considering putting a talking humanoid robot on the International Space Station to watch the mission while the astronauts are asleep, monitor their health and stress levels, and communicate to Earth through Twitter.
Okay. Do you get the sense that it really is, that this, we are living in just one extended flashback sequence in a sci-fi movie that has already been filmed and printed, and so we see the problems on the horizon, but we are impossible to, it's impossible for us to avoid them, and we are powerless to actually not make decisions that we can all tell are going to lead to something awful?
Oh, we all know that Skynet is coming at this point.
Well,
it's not going to be surprising at all.
So you're going Skynet, I was going HAL. But it's the same thing, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like everybody just... It's like this with the scientist who's creating the robot that, stabs you in the mess hall or whatever. And we can all see how this is getting... That and the mouse that goddamn sings to you or what, you know, whatever the hell that story was.
Yeah,
we
it can seems all, like a bird.
This is all going to end so badly. And we, and the thing is, you could put 100 people in a room and just say, all right, who here believes this will lead to the extinction of all mankind? That's mankind's extinction. Show of hands. Everyone that is... Okay, so the answer in the room is extinction of mankind. Yes, that is correct. Mankind's removal. And we all, and yet we just sort of go on with it anyway.
It's like, yeah, we need robots with human skin that can stab people.
It's like
we need these things.
It's like just going home with some girl that you know is going to get you in trouble later on, where you're just like, look, you're like, this is such a bad idea. Like, we are so, and your brain is having this conversation with you going, we are so going to regret effing this girl. Like, it's never going to end well, and yet
but
you do it
other,
anyway.
Other part of you that just wants to see how it turns out.
Why not? Come on. It'll be fun. So, you know, putting a robot on the space station, same thing.
Yeah. Japan's space agency JAXA, J-A-X-A, announced this week that it's looking at a plan to send a humanoid robot to the space station in 2013 that could communicate with the ground through Twitter, primarily feeding photos rather than original ideas, and providing astronauts with comfort and companionship.
Uh-huh.
Following up on NASA's RoboNaut R2 program, which is set for launch on the Discovery Shuttle next week, the Japanese android would be part of a larger effort to create and refine robots that can be used by the elderly. Japan is, of course, one of the leading countries in robotics and has a rapidly aging society with one of the world's longest life expectancies. So they want to improve robot communication capabilities to help the elderly by providing a non-intrusive means of monitoring the robot owner's health and vital signs and sending information to emergency responders.
I honestly don't know how to feel about Japan sometimes. Because you get the, like, the, you know, they're creating robots for, you know, for companionship and safety and health and, you know, and to look after the needs of the aged and to make sure that medicines. And then meanwhile, it's like they're just meanwhile, the national pastime seems to be finding endangered species and, like, you know, and shoving them into kerosene lamps. It seems like really if they're going to do this and we're going to give them permission to just be filling space with robots that'll almost certainly turn on us at some point, they ought to at least have to make it with the rest of the world by creating robo whales to create the ones that they're killing.
So maybe is whale meat like a secret ingredient in robots? Maybe that would explain it.
It's possible. Maybe that's why it's like they're the only ones that have the advanced technology because they're the only ones that have access to the secret ingredient.
Yeah.
They're like the Coca-Cola plant with the fluid extract.
The only way that you can actually properly lubricate a robot is blubber.
Does it seem... never mind. All right. So, I mean, here's my other thing is, like, do you figure that we're not told about this, but that at some point they've been doing a lot of experiments about sexing in space? You know, just getting your hump on while you're there. Because
I don't really hear much about that.
But I mean, don't you think that that's like the second thing that some guy at NASA would have proposed that they study?
Well, that's got to be like, I mean, they obviously have thought about their dietary needs and how they will, you know, eliminate into their suits, and they have special things for that. And so I would imagine that even though they don't talk about it a lot, you know, the sexual needs of the astronauts, particularly on long missions.
Well, because there's a whole thing about
about
how zero gravity affects your body and affects all of the fluids inside, and how it affects your heart, and how it's you can't. That's one of the things. Like one of the worst things you can have if you're going to be doing any space travels, any sort of a heart issue, because that's a thing where it relies entirely on the internal you know, the internal pressure of it, because the gravity is such that you're, you know, the blood flow needs to be absolutely, you know, there's any sort of a not a leak, but, you know, if there's any sort of inefficiency with your heart, you're not going to be able to rely on gravity to help to move anything around. It's just going to sort of float randomly in your bloodstream. So you got to figure that as soon as they made that observation, some guy was just wondering, like, well, what happens if you try to, you know, get it on? And I mean, if you were a scientist and they just gave you carte blanche to be working on crap with the space station, wouldn't you be looking into that? I would. I'm just saying.
So you went to that from robots because you're thinking
did you think they were doing sex bots? I mean, aren't you just assuming that's what this is about?
Well, it is supposed to provide comfort and companionship.
I didn't even have to hear that part. When you just said that Japan's going to be sending robots into space to accompany the astronauts, I just figured it was like a hump-o-matic.
Well, all it says here is that they will... a human-like robot that would have facial expressions and be able to converse with the astronauts.
You're the best.
So,
I've never had anyone bigger. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hibernating bears set their energy demands on low, but unlike most other animals that take long winter naps, they don't chill very much. Figuring out how they cut energy use but still keep their body temperature relatively warm could one day have important implications for treating victims of heart attack, stroke, and other conditions, according to scientists. The body temperature of small hibernating mammals can drop to near freezing, but that's not the case for the more human-sized black bears, according to new research published in the journal Science. The study's senior author, Brian M. Barnes, found that after hibernating, black bears don't suffer the loss of bone and muscle mass that occurs in humans after long periods of inactivity. He said that if scientists could better understand the mechanisms behind the lower metabolic demand, it might be possible to develop new therapies and medicines for people. So they found that rather than having their temperature drop to near freezing, the bears went through cycles of several days when their temperature fell to 86 degrees. Then they began shivering, and the readings climbed back up to 97 degrees, which is nearly normal. However, even though they remained relatively warm, their metabolism fell to a very low level. Their oxygen use was reduced by 75% from summer rates, and their heart rate fell from 55 beats a minute to 14 beats per minute.
So this is one of those things where it's like your heater kicks on when it realizes that the house has gotten below 75.
Yeah, but yet they are still managing to save energy in a way that humans can't. So if they can figure out how they're doing that, we might be able to help people.
Well, I think the sad reality of the fact is that humans suck in every way except for our thinking ability, and that's it. I mean, we're lucky that we got a big brain that can process stuff, because, like, our body is effed. I mean, really, compared to most other creatures on planet Earth, I mean, it's like we're spindly and frail and, you know...
The human body is just a big, stupid meat sack.
It's just a thing to carry your brain around, but it doesn't even really do it all that well.
No.
I mean, we're just so badly designed compared to certain other creatures on Earth. It is a miracle that we got... It really is a testament to our brain that we got this far, seeing as how there's just nothing... I mean, it's like you just trip on some stairs, and it's like you inadvertently remove yourself from the gene pool forevermore.
Yeah. We can stand upright, but our spine does a horrible job of keeping us there.
By the way, somebody wants to know how he said, now, are you not going to explain how... He says, are you not going to explain how they poop in space? I guess...
Well, how do you think they poop in space?
Well, I only know this because we actually had somebody... I forget if we had somebody... It wasn't from NASA, but we had somebody who had worked on the initial, I think, development of that kind of technology, of not just sewage systems, but water pipes and the sort of the infrastructure of things that were going to be in zero gravity at one point. And I think he explained that what people don't realize is that when you actually are using the services, the facilities in space, that there is in fact a low grade vacuum inside the toilet, and that's why they have to be designed so carefully, because it's like if they just turn that thing up one notch too many, then suddenly it's your innie is an outie. I mean, like, all the way. So it's a whole thing of, like, you sit on the toilet, there's a sort of thing. Not unlike Mr. Pratt's bug removal device in the movie Creepshow, except it's for your anus or pooper.
There we go.
There you go. That's your science.
The more you know.
Yeah.
A macabre collection of bone cups made from human skulls, unearthed in a Somerset cave, are the oldest of their kind, according to researchers. The extraordinary vessels are the handiwork of early modern humans, who used stone tools, it turns out, to prepare and finish the containers around 14,000 years ago. What they found in this cave are three cups made from the skulls of two adults and one three-year-old child. They were dug up several decades ago alongside cracked and cut-marked remains of animal and human bones in Cheddar Gorge in southwest England. They've been re-examined using new techniques, and they now realize that they show clear signs of butchery, implying that the bodies were stripped for meat and crushed for marrow before the heads were severed and turned into crockery.
Well, it's sort of a waste not, want not kind of a thing.
There's no suggestion that the cups are trophies made from the remains of dead enemies. It's more likely that making skull cups was a traditional craft and that their original owners died naturally. So, yeah.
Okay.
It would probably take half a day to prepare a skull cup, said Sylvia Bello, a paleontologist. Defleshing the skull was a skilled and lengthy business.
I would like to go the rest of this year without using the word defleshing on the show, if it's all right with everybody else.
Well, they don't know how skull cups were used, but historically they have held food, blood, or wine.
What do you mean how they were used? It's a cup.
Some are still used today in Hindu and Buddhist rituals. Bello said, to us, they can seem a little strange. I wouldn't have my cereal in one. I totally would.
Yeah. So this is, but it was just like the scrapbooking of an earlier time.
Yeah.
So it's like while men were watching mastodon races or something, they had to occupy the lady folk. Go make yourself some skull cups or a, you know, bone terrace or something.
Well, also, you know, fashioning bowls, you know, is rather difficult. But at the same time, if you have something...
That's nature's bowl, Tom.
That's nature's bowl, the top of somebody's skull.
It doesn't really require... You know what it is? It's not even really require fashioning. It's just like when you get a DVD home and all you got to do is take off all the packaging, you know, and the tape that seems to stick to it. And that'll take you a good 10, 12 minutes.
Yeah.
But then it's like the thing is already there. It's done.
Right.
So that's what this is.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. And then it's like one of those paper collapsible cups that grandma carries around in her purse in case she needs to take her medicine somewhere. You don't have to go, like, make yourself a cup. You just got one with you.
So you would figure everyone would have their own skull cup.
Well, yeah, because then it's like, you know what it is? Then it's like having a knife with a spoon attached to it. You've got a Swiss Army knife, don't you?
I do. So, I have one with me now.
In your Swiss Army bag?
Yes.
So why do you have the Swiss Army knife? Because you never know when you're going to need a toothpick and you have to whittle yourself one. But if you got a toothpick on you all the time, so this is sort of like it's a permacup that one can have with them.
That's very nice.
Awesome. All right, well, there you go. Is that the end of science?
It is. That's all the science.
That's your science news brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them by going to squireselectric.com. It is 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609. You can go to squireselectric.com. That is your website as well. I'm thinking about, not so much here, but over on the other show, on the Rick Emerson Show, thinking about putting some sort of a bounty on... I'm not going to put a bounty on a person as such in the way that that's traditionally used. I want to clarify that right now. But on back when we were doing the last incarnation of the show, I always just... We would get a list of dream guests, of people we wanted to have on the show, and then we would assign each of them a value for what we would give the person who was able to get them on the show. So like when Greg Nibbler got Alice Cooper on the show, I think it was like I bought him a bottle of Jack Daniels or something, because it's like, because that was because he was in my top three of all time interviews. I was like, and you know, Alice Cooper was like, hey, I think he was like number two or something after Robert Plant. And I was like, anybody who can get Alice Cooper on the show, like, I'll buy you a bottle of whatever, you know, whatever you want. So I'm thinking about assigning some sort of a reward for the person who can get the Mr. Kite guy on the show. And I know that Mr. Kite doesn't really resonate with you because you're from California and they do things differently there. But for people in the Northwest, that would be a huge deal. That would be a coup. So I'm just saying, speaking of electricity and Squires Electric, that's a thing I'm going to be working on. I'm going to be workshopping that over the weekend, trying to find you know, what the appropriate reward for that might be. Squires Electric can take care of all the wiring needs in your home or business, whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, it's broadband. If you're going to be moving into a new place, you're going to be expanding, if you have inspectors coming out, or if it's just that time and you want to make sure that everything is good to go as you head into spring and you head into summer, or if you're going to be remodeling or adding something onto your house, you want to make sure it's done right, done the first time and done economically. That is 503-252-1609 or SquiresElectric.com. They are the proud sponsors of Science on the March, Ered Legion of News. Don't forget, coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com, we'll talk to Mr. Big Jim Willig with another installment of Humor Me Comedy 101, today talking about Ms. Gilda Radner. We'll also have another installment of Religious Nutcase Watch and Clue Number 5. And because we were absent yesterday, the way we'll do it is in the first hour of the show, we'll give you yesterday's clue, and then we'll give the final clue in the second hour of the program. That is the E.H. Vending Name That Snack contest coming up next hour at Rick Emerson Show.
Okay. More than 50 earthquakes have rattled parts of Arkansas in the past week. Over the past 6 months, the state has reportedly experienced more than 700 quakes. Retired San Diego State University geology professor Dr. Pat Abbott says the recent activity is not surprising given the geology of the area.
There's a fundamental weakness in the continent there, and right now it's adjusting. Things are moving at depth, and that's giving lots of earthquakes, which are being felt at the surface now.
Abbott says Arkansas needs to better prepare for a big one that will eventually strike the area again.
I think by prepare they mean move. That's really what they, there's no preparing
for
the...
The real fear or real worry is so much of the building of major cities in that area. A lot of those were built back in the 1800s out of bricks without much concern for seismic safety.
And then he just ends on just on that rather grim note.
Wow, that was kind of sad.
Hold on,
the real fear or real worry is so much of the building of major cities in that area. A lot of those were built back in the 1800s out of bricks without much concern for seismic safety.
It's almost like he deliberately just inflects and then trails off so that we can imagine all the worst for ourselves. There's things you wish you never knew. I don't live in Arkansas, and I don't plan on living in Arkansas, but. I found out that they referred to Tokyo as, they referred it in terms of, like, seismologists refer to Tokyo as the city waiting to die, which is sort of great. I mean, I guess because I don't live there. Mm. And they were talking about the last, it's one of those things where, like, quakes happen in Tokyo, like, the really, really dangerous quakes happen there on an average of, it's like once every 800 years. And then, and then they know, and it's been 1,200 so far.
Well, and then you got, like, Godzilla and stuff, too.
Yeah,
so,
you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
Tokyo's always under attack from Mothra or earthquakes or God only knows what.
The thing about that, though, is that, like, they're sort of just but they're like, they're a little bit of a magnet, They just draw all of that away from us. It's like Godzilla. There's a reason why Godzilla's never been stomping around Portland. He's just too busy with Japan. So,
Well, once you try to take over Tokyo and Tokyo keeps thwarting you, you just keep going back. I mean, at this point, it's, it's pride, really.
It's like here's another thing I wish I didn't know somehow. You realize that they have no idea why Denver is so high? None. Zero. It's one of those, it's in that Bill Bryson book. It's in the short history of nearly everything. And he said that there's actually no tectonic evidence to explain why Denver just suddenly, like in the middle of all of this flatland, there's this section that's a mile high because there's actually none of the evidence of plates pushing together around it. And he said that that's what everybody assumes. And he said that it's just impossible with the way that the land and the crust formations are around Denver. He said it would be like as though you had a table and a cloth tablecloth. And the idea that you and I could each push on the tablecloth from different sides and make it lift 5 feet in the middle. He said, that's impossible. And it's so, therefore, it is, according to physics and seismology, the way we know it now, it is impossible for plate tectonics, as we understand them, to have created a lift in Denver. They have no idea why it's like that.
I didn't know that.
Which is the thing that sort of freaks me out, because you like to think that they just sort of understand all that stuff works.
I guess it... That's one of those things that I never think about. I just tend to think that mountains and hills and things like that, it's just sort of random lumpiness from the earth kind of, clumping together. And I realize there are scientists who their whole thing is to explain why it's not just random lumpiness.
Yeah. So. No, and somebody's noted that it's in the Rocky Mountains. But the thing that created the mountains, though, is separate from whatever created Denver. Hmm. Also that apparently Denver just continues to get higher and higher every year. It's like it's like something insane. It's like 3.5 inches. It just sort of just continues to lift up. Nobody knows why. I'm sure it's nothing bad. Here's Don Taylor.
A 16-year-old suspect has been charged with animal cruelty and burglary, while his two teenage accomplices, age 15 and 17, have also been charged with burglary. There are victims of a break-in. This occurred in Arlington Heights, Chicago. The victims returned from a fire evacuation to find their goldfish were floating dead at the top of their tank, which had been filled with mustard, ketchup, and spices. Sergeant Mike Hernandez said they found it a little bit disturbing. According to the police report, one of the 16-year-olds who had broken into the apartment with his two teenage friends during the fire thing said he looked at the fish tank and said, "We can't leave any witnesses." So teenagers, I'm not sure why there was a fire thing, like somebody pulled the fire alarm.
Yeah, I'm confused about many aspects of this story.
A fire alarm was pulled. People evacuated this building. Meanwhile, these teenagers, maybe they were the ones who pulled the fire alarm, went into this home, this apartment. And
did one of them actually say the phrase, "We can't leave any witnesses"?
Yes.
As regards the goldfish?
Yes.
And this is because the other guy presumably
They stole video games, DVDs, jewelry, a safe, and an air gun from this apartment, and then also killed the goldfish because...
So they're smart enough to steal a safe, which probably I wouldn't know how to do because they're heavy, and yet we can't leave any witnesses.
So they killed the goldfish.
What did they think, that the goldfish were going to, like, act it out with charades? Are they going to use that underwater sand from Tycho?
I don't know. Like, they'll point. Maybe he read Cat in the Hat one too many times, and he thought that the fish was, like, the smartest one of them all.
Bloop twice for yes.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody goes back on the It's Complicated status that they have on Facebook. Says that It's Complicated status makes me think of the comic strip Kathy. She would have this her status with Irving, and he would end up with her. It would always end up with her yelling ack and eating chocolate. Here's the funny thing is, I don't actually know if he's effing with me or if that's a thing that's really in Kathy, because it seems like a thing that might have occurred.
That pretty much sounds like Kathy.
It sounds like every Kathy.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do entertainment.
Here's your entertainment march. Entertainment march. Your entertainment on the march. Your entertainment news. Which, science on the march. Entertainment is just exists, though.
Yeah, it's just kind of...
It's omnipresent. It never marches. It just is surrounding us.
It's scampering about merrily.
It just sort of... It exists and permeates every fiber of the world. It doesn't need to march. It simply is.
No, it just is.
Enveloping us already, as a matter of course. Here's Don Taylor with your entertainment news for Friday.
Motley Crue singer Vince Neil has begun serving a 15-day jail sentence for his drunk driving conviction in Las Vegas. Las Vegas police said the 50-year-old rocker arrived at the Clark County Detention Center around 10:15 a.m. Tuesday. He's being housed separately from other inmates. Neil pleaded guilty in January to driving drunk last summer near the Las Vegas Strip. He was sentenced to 15 days in jail and 15 days on house arrest under a plea deal that spared him a trial. He was also fined $585. He was stopped in his black Lamborghini sports car on June 27th after leaving the Las Vegas Hilton Resort. Arnold Schwarzenegger flew on a private jet from Los Angeles to Lewiston Nez Perce County Airport just after 9 a.m. this morning. There's been a big sculpture of him, a big sculpture. I don't know why. This is a badly written story. There is a...
I don't know what we're talking about here.
There's a museum... In Lewiston, Nez Perce.
Now you sound like Charles Carrault.
Yeah.
There's a man on the outskirts of Bonneville.
This is one of those horribly written stories that it's just guys talking and nobody giving me, like, any information.
Let me ask, we'll fill in the blanks. Who got on the helicopter to go where?
There's a museum someplace, and they built a giant statue of the Terminator.
And so he went there?
Arnold Schwarzenegger went there to see it and debut it. But it was just finished.
Where is the museum?
I don't know. Lewiston.
Lewiston, Idaho?
Is that where the Nez Perce tribe are?
Sure.
Sure. That would be it.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a... I don't... This is the worst written story.
Just take as much time as you need.
He says someone decided to... It's apparently where Schwarzenegger grew up. And
I think he grew up in Austria.
Well, that's what he said. He said, but somebody decided to buy the house I grew up in Austria, and they made that house into a museum.
In Idaho.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then the museum is restored to resemble exactly how it looked when he grew up in it. It features movie memorabilia, and there's going to be this big Terminator statue. And
if it makes you feel any better, because this story's a little creepy, I think it's also entirely fabricated.
Okay.
It sounds like there may be no portion of the story that is true.
All right. Let's put that one aside and
just
ignore that
let's
one.
Let's just forget that we were there. We're going to move that.
Don't care about that.
You know what you can also see in Idaho, unless they have moved it since, subsequent to me reading this article. I did a while back. I read a thing about the movie Duel, which I actually just watched a couple weekends ago, and it's still fantastic. You can see the truck from Duel. It's at there's a car and truck museum in Idaho where you can actually go see the 18-wheeler they used in Duel, which is awesome, which I might do at some point.
Is it more sinister than most semis?
It is. Well, I mean, yeah, it just because there's all of the other, you know, just sort of, here's like the 100,000th Freightliner, and here's an early prototype of the Peterbilt truck. Here's a murderous truck that will chase you across the country. And it looks just... Because that truck already looked kind of effed up and run down and, you know, looked all... You know, it was all kind of decrepit and sort of cool looking. And it still looks that way now, so...
Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Michael Vick will not be appearing on the Oprah Winfrey Show. A show spokesman said Wednesday that representatives of Vick called late Tuesday to cancel his appearance for personal reasons. The daytime talk show host interview with Vick was set to air February 24th. The interview was to cover Vic's time in prison, his work with the Humane Society, and his return to the NFL. But there's no reason given for why he canceled Oprah.
In my mind's eye, though, I'm just, like, it does a jump cut to Oprah sitting in that chair on the stage, and then the camera goes over to the other side where she's just holding a gun in her hand, and she goes, damn it! Next time, Vic, next time.
Police were called to the Phoenix home of Malcolm in the Middle star Frankie Muniz on Friday after he argued with his girlfriend, Alicia Turnbow. Turnbow had told police that Muniz, 25, had put a gun to his own head during their argument. But in a joint statement, the couple insisted that the gun played no part in the argument and was voluntarily given to the police for safekeeping. The statement continued, there were no bruises on anyone. Neither left the residence that night. He was not suicidal. She was not assaulted. They've been together since the incident, are still together, and moving forward to their lives and their relationship.
Nothing really rhymes with had a gun to his head, though. So no. It doesn't seem like that could have been just a miscommunication.
Yeah.
Like he was really having fun with some bread or something. That's a fairly binary state. One either has pointed a gun at one's head or one has not. And it's the Malcolm in the Middle guy sort of weird, too.
Yeah, that seems unfortunate, but I guess...
Can you really picture anybody having sex with him?
No.
Seems, no. You know, it's very, no.
Graffiti artist Banksy is up for an Oscar this year, which explains why to generate buzz for his documentary, the artist has adorned a Westwood Urban Outfitters with a work titled Crayola Shooter and painted the Charlie Brown Firestarter on Sunset Boulevard. His piece de resistance of his Hollywood series is a depiction of a drunk Mickey and Minnie Mouse on a Las Vegas casino restaurant company's billboard. The company was pleased about the art, despite the fact that the unshaven Mickey is groping a model in the ad.
I'm really confused here. Okay, he's promoting what?
He's promoting himself.
Because, well, it's the documentary.
Yeah.
But he's doing that. But is he doing that in the employee of a company? In other words, is it like Absolut Vodka presents Banksy promoting his crap with...
Well, I think I have a feeling that the...
Because Disney's not going to sanction that.
No.
In fact, I'm surprised that Disney hasn't just had him removed. You know, like permanently, because they don't truck with that.
I imagine the Urban Outfitters was aware of what he was doing, but I don't know.
Is the whole point here to provoke Disney into some sort of legal action? Because they take the likenesses of their characters pretty seriously.
Well, the company who it doesn't say who the company was that owns the Las Vegas casino restaurant company, the Light Group, who owns it. They said it was one of our generic billboards. It's much cooler to have Banksy tag on it. CBS Outdoor, however, actually owns the billboard. And they took it down.
Okay, all right. Yeah, because you want to screw with Disney. They'll screw you so hard you won't be able to walk anymore.
There's also Banksy. I read something yesterday. He's been having some issues with the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences because they wanted to have him appear, and they also want him to actually be in the audience.
Oh, his whole thing that no one knows what he's a mystery.
Anonymous, and so he said that he was going to remain anonymous, and so now there's like a whole frou-frou thing about whether he's going to be invited, whether he's going to be allowed to cover his face, whether
Well, why doesn't he just? I don't get it. Why doesn't he just go and just not tell them?
Well, because they know who's they assign seats to people who are nominated for things.
Oh, it's not like he couldn't just like go as a seat filler or something.
No problem. Well, maybe he could, but you'd have to know a guy who knows a guy and figure something out.
I guess that's a fair point. It's not like a first come first serve thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking
tickets are hard to come by for that. And
I was thinking he could just sit in the back, and then it's like, and then he just doesn't. All right, so he wants to be able to go.
Right.
He
wants to still be anonymous.
I'm trying to care about this, and I just can't.
No,
I can't conjure up caring.
No, there's no good reason to care about it.
I'd like to end today's broadcast by just reading something. A listener has just written the phrase, Emerson and Gay Street. Ha ha. There you go. Thank you. All right. With that, we'll bring a conclusion to this. It is another exciting installment of Legion of News.
Thank you, chat box.
Thank you, billion-dollar technology created by the Defense Department to preserve communications after a nuclear apocalypse. Lol. It is Friday, February 18th, 2011, and that concludes this episode of Legion of News. Don't forget, coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com, more of our rapier-like wit. You can find out more about that and subscribe for just 32 cents a day, and your first week is free at RickEmersonShow.com. This program is available later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at LegionofNews.com. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff, Cheryl Kanakoa. Thank you for listening. We'll see you Monday at noon. Have a safe and fantastic and satisfying Friday and weekend, won't you? I'll see you Monday.